we are starting a new ministry year, and many of our graduates have certainly graduated, but now they've departed. I think we only have a few left before they head off to school. And while we're excited for them and what the Lord is doing, I'm excited for our group. And, you know, with a new year, there's excitement about what the Lord is doing in our midst and with our, with you as students. You know, the excitement about growth and coming back from camp. And, you know, as we met as a staff last week, Sterling, Corinne, myself, we wanted to start a new practice. You know, that practice, you know, we mentioned at camp was about meditating on God's word, memorizing God's word. And so we want to start with that this week. It's a practice that we're going to continue as we press through. If you go to the main service, it's something that they're doing there as well. And really, it's the idea to encourage you to put God's word on your heart. So I'm going to read this verse. Not that one or that. Yeah, this one. And he said to him, this is Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. And he's giving the disciples this command. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." It's the greatest and first commandment. And so we wanted to start with this. And so I'd like you to take a minute to just meditate on these verses. Just read them, emphasize different parts. You can close your eyes if you like. But really, it's about what is the Lord doing? How do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul? And how do you love your neighbor as yourself? Take a minute. Lord God in heaven, Lord, we give you thanks. We thank you for giving your word. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us, Lord God. Lord, thank you for your great love for us, Lord, that your mercy and grace overwhelms us, Lord, that you would die for us. Lord, that you, Lord, you see us in our mess and you don't leave us there. Lord, thank you for your great sacrifice for us. Help us to live out our lives in worship to you, Lord God. Help us to follow you. Lord, I pray as we look into your word this morning, Lord, that you'll change us. Lord, help us to be conformed in your image, Lord, to be more like you, Father. Lord, we can't do it on our own. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, overtake us. Lord, live out through us, Lord. We want to bow at your feet. We want to walk in your ways, Lord. Help us to do that, Lord. Lord, our flesh is so weak. Lord, help us. Guide us, Lord. Pray for your words this morning, Lord, as they would pour through me. Lord, that these students would be changed. Lord, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You, many of you know that I took my son Cameron back to Utah this week, and you know, we had a great time. We were outdoors at Scott's Bluff as a national monument. And I was thinking about our sermon today. I wanted to prepare you with a story. You know I love the outdoors. You know I love to ski, and he's a big snowboarder. And so if I go back to February when it's cold and it's chilly, you know, we went up to Brighton, which is one of the resorts near him, and we rode the lift to the top of the mountain. It was about midday. It was cold. The wind was blowing. It was chilly. And as we got to the top, we started thinking about, hey, which way do we go? You know, there's this marked path that had probably what looked like 1,000 turns on it, some moguls and stuff. And yet over here were the trees, something unknown, something we couldn't see. And yeah, we decided to take the trees, do something a little bit different. Well, no sooner do we start down this path that suddenly it's pretty steep. There's rocks everywhere. There's a chute and it's pretty hairy. It's pretty dicey. You know, it's about a 40% incline, which is pretty steep. It's pretty treacherous. And there's only one way down. You can't really hike back out. And so here we are working our way just down this mountain, sweating profusely and just coming over us. And it was pretty slow, pretty treacherous. And I was thinking to myself, how do we get ourselves into this mess? Well, you know, after a few seats on the mountain and, you know, a few breaks, we finally get to the bottom. We end up next to this pond and we're completely stuck. We have no momentum. We literally were just standing there. The trail's like, you know, 50 feet above us. And so he takes off his snowboard. I take off my skis. And here we are. We're just trekking out. So all we can do is walk. And it's at that point that I thought to myself, man, I really wish we had a map. This would have been way easier. And lo and behold, that was not the case. Well, you'll see what I mean by this story in a minute. But this morning, I want to talk about God's love for you, his precious love for you. And out of his word, you know, what that means for us, that we reflect back on it. You know, at Reston Bible Church, in the main sanctuary and here, we talked about love is an action. To love God means spending time in his word, reading it, meditating on it. And, you know, this was a focus for us at camp, and it's a focus that I want us to have as we start this new ministry year, we start this new school year. And so I want to go back and look at Psalm 1 again. I want us to reemphasize this. Why? Because I want us to memorize this psalm together. As a staff, we have a challenge to do this. And I could call Corinne or Sterling up, but I won't. But it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff blown, driven by the wind, that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. You know, like we were on that mountain, there are two paths. We see it here. We see the way of the righteous, and we see the way of the wicked. And man, I really wish we had a map. Oh, but wait, we do have a map. God has given us his instruction that we would live righteous, holy, godly lives, that we wouldn't perish, that we wouldn't have to be separated from God forever, that we wouldn't have to suffer death and judgment. So the scripture says, they will perish, and God will be the judge. And I don't want, you know, as Grace said, man, what a great gift and blessing to be able to listen to God's word, to know it when I was your age. And that's my prayer. But I have to ask myself, am I walking in the way of the righteous? I want you to ask yourselves, am I walking in the way of righteousness? You know, this passage should describe us if we are walking righteously. Do I delight in the law of the Lord? Do I enjoy sitting with my Bible, sitting with the word? You know, do I come on Sunday ready to learn about the Lord? I have my pen in hand. I have my notebook. I have my Bible open because I want to hear what God has for me today. Because in this place, the Holy Spirit dwells and he has a message for you each and every week, how we can walk better with him, how we can change and be different. And so I want to encourage yourself, be a learner. Learn what the Lord has for us. Let's not come on Sunday and be a spectator. You know, I want to build the best foundation I can for my future life. I want you to build the best foundation you can for your future self. And that means applying God's word to our everyday life. Do I meditate on it day and night? Do I have God's word on my lips? This is not so for me. This is why our staff is challenging ourselves with this, because we want to have God's word on our lips. You know, we really feel the Lord is calling us to this. And so we're going to be rolling out, as part of small groups, a challenge associated with memorization. And this is inspired by some students. I know some people in the North House got a steak dinner last year because their leader was encouraging them to memorize verses. And I don't know what we're going to give away as incentives, but we want to write God's word on our heart. If Awana can memorize 1,000 verses by the time they graduate, how much more can we memorize as part of the process? And so we want to challenge ourselves with this. You know, we want to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul. And that means meditating on God's word. And when you meditate on God's word, you can't help but memorize it. So this is our foundation for the year. You know, we're kicking off our ministry year, and I'm excited for it. We've got a 3-part series. Sterling, you know, I'm going to share a few things today. Sterling's going to follow up next week, and then Aaron's going to finish it off at the end of the month. And we're going to start in Romans 12. If you have your Bibles, you can open it up there. Get a few verses out of that, and then we're going to skip around. And it's a real blessing to do this. You know, back in the fall, I spoke about Romans 12 and says verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so while we dug deep into this passage, or these early verses back in the fall, today I just want to focus you on two things: presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, and the idea of transforming by the renewal of your mind. Your life is made up of what you do, what you think. It's why you get out of bed. And we want to think about how we can be holy and pleasing to God. And we talked at camp about your direction determining your destination. What you focus on is what you will become. So we want to focus on what is holy, what is acceptable, what is pleasing to God. We want to focus on God's word so we can become more like him, that we can be transformed. That's what we want to center our lives on. So that's what we're starting with for the ministry year, is just God's word and spending time in it. That's my first thing for you this morning, is that we would encourage ourselves with that. The next verse, verse 3, says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned." God has given you faith. God has given you grace. And now I'm asking you, with sober judgment, to think about this next question. How are you doing walking with the Lord? I want you to assess yourself, your life, what you do with your time, is it holy? Is it set apart for the Lord? Are you seeking to walk with him? Think about those things for just a brief 30 seconds. Your life, what does it mean for you? Now I want you to talk at your table about this thought. Now that we're back from camp, we're getting ready to kick off the new year. It's about setting some objectives for what we want to do this year and how we want to spend our time. So after camp, you came back thinking about Abraham and the promises of God. And you came back maybe with some thoughts of doing something differently. Well, we're a couple weeks past camp, and I want you to ask yourself, those old habits, are they still there? What am I doing with my phone, with my time management, with my friends? If you didn't go to camp, think about these habits and, you know, do you like them? Are they helping you be godly? So talk about those at your table. You can dig into these other questions as you have time. We'll come back in 5 minutes. Go ahead. All right. Anyone brave enough? Anyone brave enough to tell me some alternate behavior that they came away from camp with or something that they committed to? Anyone? Matthew. Yeah, praise God. Establish a new habit. Good job. Yeah, well done. Anyone else? Maybe they deleted an app on their phone. Who deleted an app off their phone? Yeah, way to go, Jazzy. Good job. Apps that are bad. Good job, John. Way to go, Tobiah. Look, these are steps that are honoring to the Lord. And they might be drastic that you have to take to honor the Lord. But I want you to think back to camp. Think about the commitment you came back with camp with, that you wanted to be different. You spent the week dwelling in God's presence, abiding in his love, meditating on his word. Okay, after camp things, we fell off the bus. It's okay, get back on. Every day, God's mercies are new for you every day. And his forgiveness never ends. So if you fell off, that's okay. Get on tomorrow. Now is a time of excitement to see what the Lord will do as you follow him. These are small steps of obedience that will grow your faith in what God is capable of by walking with him. I really want you to draw on the goodness that you had at camp. That feeling of the abundant life, that you were in community with other believers. It's not a past tense feeling. This is a feeling that this is everyday life. It's a now thing. It's a future thing. It's about who you want to be. I think Jim in the main sermon was talking today about a guy doing deadlifts. He didn't just wake up one morning able to deadlift 1,100 plus pounds. We not wake up tomorrow and be able to read our Bible for 2 hours every day. It's going to take slow, steady, dedicated time to doing that, to grow the spiritual muscles of applying yourself to God's word. That's okay. Start with 5 minutes, move to 10 minutes, increase it to 15 minutes, and hold one another accountable. Raise your hand if you want to be more godly. Look around. Your friends, your peers want to be more godly. So you have permission to hold them accountable. And God's word is exciting. What God is doing is exciting. So talk about it with one another. I give you permission. They just gave you permission by raising their hand. What we're going to talk about is what we want to focus on for the year. five features of our ministry. These aren't going to be, these aren't earth-shattering. These are not new. You know this. But we're going to dig into some of them this morning and more next week. Fellowship, discipleship, worship, service, evangelism. This is at the heart of who we are and what we do every week. And we're going to talk about them. We have to practice all five of these in our walk with the Lord to truly have a meaningful walk that will change us. We want to pursue these, and some of them will be easy for you. Ella can probably worship undeniably, and I love it. But maybe that's harder for you. But find someone that's good at that and hold one another accountable. Help one another and humble yourself to ask for help. I'm not good at that. You know, Paul talks about the body of Christ in Romans 12, verses 4 through 6. It says this, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." Shirley's going to dig into this next week when he talks about service. But my point for you today is this. These different features, these different parts of our walk with the Lord, evangelism, fellowship, discipleship, they're different for each one of you. And you have different parts that you're good at and different parts that are harder. So help one another. If you saw your brother or sister struggling, you wouldn't just leave them there. Pick them up. That's what we're talking about. And we're going to talk about that in our first conversation. You know, I want to start with fellowship because I see this as a great strength of this group. You love being together. And the Lord also woke me up with this one two mornings ago because I think we can do better. Because while we love being together, we want to make Christ the center point of what we're doing. It's what you know in your heart. It's why you're all here. Christ unites us. So why wouldn't we talk about him? Why wouldn't we ask one another what we're reading? In Acts 2:42, it says this, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." So what you're doing before Ultimate Frisbee, breaking bread together, praying together, that's what God has for you. Making Christ at the center of it. I love it when I read the Ultimate Frisbee chat and it says, "I don't know who brought the Gatorade, but thanks." That's the selflessness that it takes. It's not about getting the credit for bringing the dessert, but that, yeah, you take care of one another. You care for one another. Galatians 2 says this, "Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." And when we're together, I see a lot of smiles. I see a lot of laughter. But I also know there's a lot of heartache in your lives. I get to carry that burden. But you need not carry it alone. Whatever you're struggling with, you want to share it. This is what fellowship is. You won't be judged because you have a problem. It's like taking a weight off your shoulders. It's like taking the bricks out of your backpack. Maybe it's your red and black binders you're taking out of your backpack for my Herndon kids. But the idea is that, you know, and it says it here in these next verses in Romans, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Verse 13 says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Having people over for dinner, sharing a meal. But at the root of it is prayer and a real care for one another and the problems that you're struggling with. Because you're not meant to carry them alone. You're not meant to carry them alone. So make sure that you let someone in on whatever trouble you're walking with. You know, I said it before and it's worth repeating. Christ is the thing that unites you. Christ was welcoming to all. He didn't judge and judge the woman at the well. He gave her instructions. But he loved her. And that's what it means to be to walking with Christ, to love the Lord your God. It means when your friend shares something that's hard with you, not to judge them, but to care for them, to comfort them. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Your brother or sister's burdens are yours to carry as well. And, you know, just a story from my own life, you know, I've had the great blessing to be in a shepherd group with my wife and I, with some other couples, and even spills over to, you know, my men's group that meets on Monday night. That's some of the husbands we started getting together separately. And we've been able to carry one another's burdens over time, whether that was sick parents or difficult children or when I was out of work. You know, my men's group buoyed me. They told me, God has a bigger plan for you. He has a bigger story. You don't know what it is. And so when you come on hard times, your friends who know the Lord, Christ himself, that's what will buoy you in hard times. That's what will not get you on your super low lows. Because you know, hey, I'm a mess, but Christ died for me. And there are people that will care for you and provide for you. God's body has a way of taking care of itself, taking care of one another. Sometimes we receive that love. Sometimes we're givers of that love. But God wants you to be both givers and receivers. And I want to say it this way. It's a quote from A.W. Tozier. He says it this way. Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos, all tuned to the same fork, are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned, not to each other, but to another standard above, to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers met together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be, were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship. I want closer fellowship for you, but that in and of itself is not the root of what we're striving for. If we know God's word better, if we're better attuned to Christ, then our group will have better fellowship. We will be more welcoming to those around us. If someone new walks through the door, we can see them. You remember at the beginning we said, love your neighbor as yourself. Which in this context of fellowship means not everyone who walks through the door is as comfortable with the group or connected to the group as others are. But we're called as followers of Christ to see not just our friends directly around us, but to see the newcomer that comes through the door, to see the person who's uncomfortable or crying in the corner, to ask them, you're compelled to ask them how they are, to love one another. So let's not just focus on our own well-being, but let's see those around us, truly see them the way God sees them, that they're made in the likeness of his image and that he cares for them deeply, and to be our hands and feet to them. You know, you don't have to look very far. Some of our graduates are great examples of this. They've been welcoming to those newcomers. And my encouragement to you is if you've felt that welcoming, then you know what it's like to sit on the outside and be welcomed by others. So now you've had it modeled for you. You can reciprocate that to other newcomers that are coming in. You can connect them. And that's my desire for you. So let's talk about the next piece, discipleship. Our next feature, you know, what we're talking about, this is about learning and sharing about, learning about the Lord and sharing him with one another. You know, this is best done in small settings with one another, small groups. Remember, Jesus had 12 disciples, and yet he had an inner circle of, you know, Peter and James and John that were even closer. And this is our model for discipleship. It's people that are walking with the Lord and sharing it in close proximity with one another. This is where we get the breaking of bread. Now, remember early in my walk with the Lord, I had a dear brother, John Smith. He came and spoke last year as a great favor to me. And I was new in my walk with the Lord. And he asked me, hey, can we just go have coffee? Let's just talk about life and kids and struggles. He knew more than I did about the Lord. And he pointed me to some things about prayer, pointed me to some truths about the Lord. But we enjoyed discipleship together. We enjoyed fellowship as well. He pointed me to the Navigators organization, which later became my devotion. My daily devotion came from them. For almost 2 years, I followed that resource to walk closer with the Lord. And to this day, John is one of my dear, dear friends, even though we can't meet very often. And you just don't know how deep a relationship this forms when you can talk about and be vulnerable about what's troubling in life, and to be able to pray for one another. It's a real gift. You know, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Here we go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the great commission that we would go and do this. And so we can all be disciple makers. You don't have to know the Bible, you know, memorize every verse in the Bible to do this. Open the scriptures together, hold one another accountable, meet and discuss what God has. You can memorize verses together. If you want to take it one step further, you can volunteer for freshman fellowship. Well, we'll assign you someone that's coming in new. But the key is to study God's word, to study his commands together. It just takes intentionality to set aside the time and to invite someone. I'm sure you can find someone that's interested in this. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. This is each of you. I'm entrusting God's word to you. I believe each one of you is capable of teaching another about God's love for them. You don't need more Bible verses. We need to do it. We need to do it. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for corrections, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work. So that means you can take your Bible and you can play Bible roulette. Meet with your friend. Open up God's word. If you're interested, if you can't find a student, it's okay. You can come. If you're interested, you come talk to me, talk to a leader. Let's talk to another student. But I think we can do this. I think we can ask one another to be mentored. So don't wait to learn more about the Lord. The last thing I want to talk about is worship. And I'm going to talk about it in this context of the team. We have great worship here. But it's not just the musicians. It's each of you with a heart for the Lord to sing to the Lord. And you, if you know the Lord is your Savior, you have something to sing for. David says it this way in Psalm 96. You know, the Levites are bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem and placing it in a tent before the temple had been built. And upon its arrival, the Levites and the Israelites sung this song of thanksgiving to the Lord. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. So when you come to worship, come to sing. Choose to lift up your voice. Micah is jamming on those drums. Nobody's going to hear you. It's fine. I know, because I'm a terrible singer. Amen. Yeah. But you know what? I love the Lord and I do not care. And I hope you don't either, because the Lord loves you. And this is what we want to put on display. You know, worship has been most impactful to me in my life with Christ, my walk. It's one of the ways that I know the Lord loves me. And so I love to just close my eyes and hear worship, to let the words wash over me. You know, the first time I heard More Like Jesus, I was at Winter Retreat. It was about 5.5 years ago. I had left my corporate job at Accenture. I was there for 23 years, and that was my identity. That was who I was. My pride was wrapped up in that. And I left that job December of 2019. And if you're tracking the timeline, COVID was March of 2020 when they shut everything down. But I went there to honor the Lord. It's part of my hiring. I said, I'm here to work with my friend, and I'm here to share Jesus with any one of my coworkers. And one of the two owners was a believer and the other owner was Jewish. And during this process of working there for the next 3 years, I followed God into obedience to get baptized. And the Jewish owner was at my baptism. It's not that I did anything. I was just obedient to invite him. And you know, the More Like Jesus song just made me sob. I was totally broken in that moment. Some verses I want to share from this. You came to the world you created, trading your crown for a cross. You willingly died. Your innocent life paid the cost. And I just thought of my sin, you know. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I was crushed. I was broken. I had known all the things that I had done wrong. And then the chorus, if more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. And I said, God, you can have it. You can have my dreams. You can have my hopes. I trust you. I'm not going to carry it anymore. I'm not going to worry. And I was just broken in that moment. And that's all we have. All we have is Christ. To abide in him, to be with him. What great excitement to speak of his glory. You know, being in his presence is more glorious than anything that we can think of. No sunrise, no sunset, no, you know, gorgeous orange or pinks will compare to God's glory when we get to bask in it, when we get to heaven and we're with him. You are my life and my treasure, the one I can't live without. Here at your feet, my desires and dreams I lay down. As I sang those words, I was grateful that God rescued me. He opened my eyes to the spiritual battle that was going on around me. And that all I could change, only he could change my heart and my desires. But I no longer wanted, you know, the stuff that my career provided, the money, the title, it no longer was interesting to me. And I had been a volunteer in, you know, in junior high for 3 or 4 years at the time. And it just wasn't, that was what became important. The students that I got to meet with, that became important. And so that's my encouragement to you, is let worship change you. Let God's word change you, your meditation on it. And so I want to leave you with this. You know, we want to be meditating on God's word to love him more. We want to, as that happens, our fellowship will be greater. Christ will be at the center of our fellowship and we'll be welcoming more people in. Our discipleship, our desire to study God's word, to come prepared on Sunday morning, to worship him, our hearts will be aligned to him. So I just want to encourage you, if you've never put your trust in Christ, just I encourage you to do it today. Admit that we are sinners, that we're broken people, that we fall short of the glory of God. And acknowledge that Jesus came to earth to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sin. That's the debt we had to pay. And yet Christ paid it for us so that we would know him. And I pray that today is the day of salvation for you. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, I'm grateful that while we are sinners, you still love us and you sent your son to die on the cross and pay the penalty for us. Lord, help us to create a small piece of your kingdom here on earth, Lord. Let us be devoted in fellowship to one another. Lord, that we would engage one another in discipleship, Lord, to study your word, to be accountable, to be in your word. Lord, that we would tell of what you're teaching us through your word. Lord, that your worship would be great and mighty and that our voices would be lifted high to you, Lord, to sing your praises, Lord, because you are great and worthy of it. Lord, you are all powerful and wonderful, Lord God. Lord, thank you for today, for digging into your word, Lord. May you change us, Lord. We seek to be more like you through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that we'd be changed. Lord, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.